Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to the Junk Time Matt for Podcast for January 19, 2022. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who has brought an amazing new sponsorship to the AFL. It's Adam Rosenbarks.
Oh, g'day, Michael. G'day, Junk Timers. Happy New Year to everyone out there. It's summer. Footy is back. We've got the AFLW running around. We're only, weeks away from the preseason of the AFL. And it's a huge time, and it's even more exciting because I have bought one of the best sponsorship deals you have ever seen to football, and this is what footy needed. So this is a sponsorship that goes for both the AFL and the AFLW, and this particular sponsor is going to look after the AFL score review, and it's none other, and this is what football's been screaming out for, none other than crypto.com.
Crypto.com has come into the fore of late by the fact that they have a massive deal at the Staples Center in LA. They're taking over the naming rights there. And then also a big budget ad with the one and only Matt Damon. How do you like them apples? And
which is why I got it.
And now they've kind of brought in as a major sponsor of the AFL.
Yeah, so $25 million worth. And I said to the AFL, I went to them and said, look, gambling is not a good enough way for people to lose thousands and thousands of dollars. So why don't you guys get crypto.com to look after the score review? And they went, Rosie, fucking great idea. And I've brought even more to it. The umpires are going to be sponsored by... No, the blood rule is going to be sponsored by Theranos, which is fantastic for everyone out there. I've got Lehman Brothers back together. I know they fell apart in the 2008 crash, but I reckon they're going to be better the second time around. I've got Evergrande, the Chinese building company. They're going to build a whole bunch of new stadiums for us.
Wow.
Which may or may not be finished. Enron have jumped back on board.
Okay. They're sponsoring the liniment that people rub on their bodies before the game.
That's right. Yeah. And you'll never get it off. And the final series is going to be brought to you by the people who put together the Fyre Festival. So we have got a huge year ahead of us, Junk Timers. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, and they're a two-for-one as well, because they can also take care of catering at the games. So it's going to work out
that's right. It's perfect. You know, you get one sandwich for every 4,000 people.
Hey, you fucking love getting a pie at a hot dog at a footy. Forget about that from now on.
No, I like it. Because nothing says honesty to me in the score review than crypto. Because who doesn't have a really good and or bad story about investing in a little Dogecoin?
Well, I've actually gone to the crypto.com website, which I haven't gone to before. I'm just looking at it now. There's a bunch of coins I haven't heard of. There's Cardano.
Really?
Which is worth $1.42, so they got to lift their game.
Yeah, they do. See, I'm a big Ethereum man myself. So
Ethereum is at 3,124. Bitcoin itself is roughly about 42,000. So I feel like I've got a mate who has 4 Bitcoin that he bought a long, long time ago. So he's doing very well.
He shouldn't be in the country.
I don't see any zoo coin floating around on this website.
How do they miss out on Acker? This is, you know, if I was Acker and I was Acker's company, I would be filthy. How is crypto.com, how is the AFL goal review system not sponsored by Zucoin?
And that's I'd love like a mascot, like a Zucoin mascot running around before the game and then like doing a handstand in the forward pocket.
And upside down, I think that's what people would come to the footy for. You know what the great thing is? Because is if it wasn't hard enough when you take your kids to the footy and they go, oh, Dad, Hawthorn are paying $1.92 today. And you're like, okay, you're 7 years old. I don't want you talking.
Yeah, for sure.
Now they're going to be going, Dad, can we invest in a little Coinbase? Because it's only at 0.0004 cents at the moment, Dad.
They must be one of those companies at the minute. Yeah, they're cashed up and they're just splashing their money around at all the different things just to get the coverage.
Absolutely. And, you know, people are going to go and go, oh, what's this crypto about? Because I imagine half the people in the MCC will be going, oh, don't worry, we've already cornered the market, you fucking idiots.
No, I think the MCC would be more like, I think you'll find gold and platinum are a better reward.
Yes. This is not as good as my lithium mine in Western Africa.
I think investing in artwork in the 1960s would be better.
I remember when we bought tulips in Holland.
I think you'll find buying in Toorak in Melbourne is in the 70s. Invest more money.
So we're looking forward to it. Crypto.com being splashed around everywhere. Every goal review in the AFLW and AFL coming up. It's going to be great.
So how careful can we be about the arc, though? Because obviously everything goes through the arc. Crisso's there. Like, is he going to be distracted? Mm. We need to make sure Crisso's not searching through crypto.com every 5 seconds. He's actually watching the game and keeping the eye on the ball.
Well, see, that's one thing. What if, like, you know, you get one close goal review and he's, you know, $700,000 up and he's like, this is fucking great. Yeah, that's a goal, whatever. And then the next one, he's fucking $400,000 in the hole and they're coming for his kneecaps. And he's like, oh, fucking, that's out on the full. I can't. And he's there. See, okay.
But also, here's what happens when if he has a big loss and he can't push the button because someone's come in and broken his thumbs?
Yeah, see, the thing is, he's going to be in conflict now because if he's in the hole on crypto, he's going to need to win it all back on Sportsbet. And they've just created a monster that's just going to be competing against itself. And the AFL will eat itself up. There will not be a 2023 season, Junk Timers, so enjoy this last one.
Dude.
But can I just say, before we move on, that the AFL has obviously kicked off in January. And good on the AFL for putting them out during the hottest part of the year. They've gone, you know what? We're building it nicely. The games are great, but let's put them out in 80 degree heat. This is what people really want to go and see.
Yeah, sure. And also, let's make sure they're on the hardest grounds in Australia.
Yeah, we have used them for cricket, and there might be cricket pitches in the middle of them, but put them out there. But I just wanted to say, the AFLW Pride jumpers that have been releasing its past couple of days are absolutely fantastic. The Freo and the Melbourne ones stand out. They've done a fucking great job. So congrats to everyone who's designed them.
Yeah, and that's actually big coming from Adam as a known homophobe. So,
mate, that's how I got my show on Sky News, and I stand by a lot of my views. Now, the one thing that is closing in on all of us at the moment, Michael, is the dirty C, the dirty, not crypto, COVID. COVID is closing in on all clubs. AFLW players are having to miss games. AFL men's teams are having to isolate with players and training. It's fucking everyone up. They're having to do rats. You can't get a fucking rat anywhere in Australia. It's just become an absolute fucking nightmare.
And breaking news for the junk timers out there, but you succumbed to the spicy cough a few weeks ago.
I did.
Take us through the story, man. And make sure you're completely fine, and also you're double vaccine boosted. So message to the junk timers out there. Get your double vax and get your boost.
Yeah. I actually got all my boosting from Ricky Nixon. So
In the mobile van. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I know when Ricky Nixon shows up with a syringe, I'm signing up.
You know what? I don't reckon anyone else has been boosted at 3 a.m. on a Friday.
In a bakery.
But he'll come around for you. He'll come around. Yeah, so I initially wanted to go. I was trying to go to Thailand. And that just became an absolute clusterfuck.
Where are we
so
going? I know where you were going, but where were you going?
You can only go to Phuket at the moment.
Phuket. Yeah. How is Phuket spelled?
I don't think you're better than that. You're better than that. So how's the thing? You had to apply this because it was an application. You couldn't just fly over there. And I was on a tight schedule because I decided on Christmas Day that I wanted to. No, Christmas Eve. That I was going to go to Thailand.
Get out of the country really quickly.
Yeah, basically, yeah, I was on the run.
That's something
and
I did.
You had to apply to it. And so the Thai consulate come back and they're like, oh, yeah, the application process takes from 1 hour up to 7 days. And it's like, who the fuck's running Thailand? Foxtel? Like 1 hour to 7 days? That's a big fucking gap.
Yeah, for sure. Like, what were you trying to do? Like, what kind of application did you have to get? Like a visa
to
get in or?
It was called this sandbox application. So you had to basically say where you were going to stay, say you were going to get a PCR test when you got there. There was all these hoops you had to jump through.
Yeah,
I missed a few of the hoops, couldn't end up going. So ended up having to get a PCR test on Boxing Day. Didn't go to the test match because of that. And ended up going to Port Douglas for a week.
Oh, gotcha. So you had to get a PCR to get into Queensland.
Yes. And so we did that, get off the plane at Cairns Airport. And as we're walking through, we all pull out our phones. I was traveling with a couple of friends and we go to show them to the police officers who were standing in the departure, the arrival lounge. And we have our phones at us and they go, oh, get out of the fucking way. You're blocking the walkway.
That's actually quite interesting because I had a family member who went up with another family member about a week or so before Christmas. And they had to jump through hoops like you, like, you know, get a PCR and, you know, have it on their phones and show it to the people. And when they got off the plane, they were like, you know, kind of almost like, you know, holding out the phone going, does anyone want to fucking look at this?
That's what it was like.
They had nothing to do. No one looked or cared.
Mate, I was showing it to people in the, you know, the AFL store up there.
I was telling you, Uber driver. And he's like,
we did the right thing. Can someone at least have a fucking look at it?
Yeah, you want a reward for all your hard work.
Yeah, so then we went up to Port Douglas and I spent an afternoon at the pub with the G-Train.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
No way.
So he was staying at the resort that we were at and my friends had a chat to him and he's like, we're going to be at the pub all afternoon if you guys want to come down for a beer. And we're like, fucking oath we do. And so I ran and hung out with G-Train and remember the ruckman Ilya Grigic?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty sure. Yeah,
kind of like not a well-known name, but he's like a name. You're like, yeah, he played footy. So anyway, spent the afternoon with Fraser Gehrig and Ilya, having a few bets, having a few froths.
Animated greyhounds?
No, actual races.
No, boo.
Actual races. Yeah, I know.
Ilya Grigic, I feel like St Kilda.
I have a feeling he was a ruckman at both West Coast and St Kilda, which is why they still might be mates. Because Fraser Gehrig played at West Coast and then, of course, went to St Kilda.
What's the G-Train up to nowadays? Like, apart from being an icon, but did he get into his, like, work life or anything?
Yeah, so he does artificial turf and he is absolutely killing it. Like, I think he's a bit of a mogul in the artificial turf world, Michael.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
John Thomas, you need your artificial turf, you go get some from the G-Train.
Yeah, the G-Train, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, so and he was absolutely lovely, really friendly, like just a really nice bloke. And you could tell that he just had no interest in media or anything like that. He just, you know, was telling some fucking great stories.
Any we can share?
Well, there was one where, okay, so he...
Okay, we might have to beep a few things. We might have to redact a few things. Give me a heads up.
I reckon this is a pretty well-known story, but he went into a lot of detail. And
he kept on going, I kicked 100 goals on you.
I'll give broad strokes on this story. So he flew over to Thailand, and I had vague recollections of this story, but he was, you know, reminding me of it. So he flew over to Thailand. So it's the G-Train, it's Jonathan Brown, Michael Voss, Craig McRae, Justin Lepich, Craig Lambert, and Stephen Lawrence, right?
Okay.
So remember Stevie Lawrence? He was always in trouble with Stevie Lawrence.
Yeah, sure. But there were two Stephen Lawrences. There was the bad boy Stephen Lawrence, and then there was the Hawthorne Christian Stephen Lawrence, who played at St Kilda as well.
Let's assume it was the bad boy.
Yeah, I think we're going to go with the bad boy, yeah.
Yeah. So he, and there was another three blokes, he said, you won't know who they are. We're all on the flight to Thailand, right?
Yeah,
and
Mick Gatto, so, Carl Williams.
Yeah.
Benji Vandeman.
So they get to Thailand. Okay, so they're on the flight over. He goes, and this is the way he goes, we drank the plane dry. We drank our duty-free dry. We drank everyone else's duty-free dry. And then we passed out, right? And he goes, and then when we came to, he goes, there were these sheets on our chest, this printed A4 sheet saying, you have been officially warned. Right? So when they blacked out, they came out and they put these sheets on their chest. And then he goes, they woke up and they like land. And he said there was this announcement on the plane that said, nobody leave your seats, right? Everyone has to stay put. And they're all looking at each other going, this doesn't sound positive.
Oh, yeah, I think I know where this one's going. Yeah, I remember this one.
And
yeah.
So they come on, the police come on with machine guns and everything.
Redacted.
And then on a flight back to Sydney, end of trip.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you much of a drinker on a flight? I'm not a drinker at the footy. I'm not a drinker at the cricket. I'm not a drinker on the flight. Like, just kind of.
I mean, I find drinking on a flight just really tedious, just because you've got to get up all the time to go to the bathroom. And especially like a long haul flight, usually because they're at night, I just have a couple and go to bed.
Yeah, sure. I remember using
like
my
six sleeping pills, you know, a couple of glasses of red, and fuck, I'm out of it. Maybe I'll go for a walk.
I mean, yeah, you're probably like me. Like, I bump the meth like a motherfucker, but I don't drink much. I remember years ago, my dad was on a long haul flight, and he said to the steward, stewardess, I'll have two scotch and coke or whatever. And and she said, how about I bring you one, and then when you finish that, I can bring you a second. And he was like, okay, I've been putting my place right here.
Yeah, and I'm never flying business again. And he shut the airline down.
So anyway, do you have an idea of where you got COVID, like, or how? Or?
I almost 100% will guarantee it was in Port Douglas or Cairns. Spent a few days down there. And so it wasn't until like I got home that night, flew home, and then started feeling scratchy, and was like, "Oh, lucky I got a couple of rats here, which aren't easy to get." But you know, Rosie, I know people. I got on board.
Ricky Nixon.
And so then, what's that?
You know Ricky Nixon, so you have a rat.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, the toot toot. I just said toot toot, and he came over. I got a rat straight up. So that I had a really hot sleep that night.
Sorry, I'm cutting you off, but you put the chicken. The chicken sign up in the air like Batman. and then chicken knows he's been called upon.
Yeah, he knows what to do. I had a really shit night's sleep that night.
Aww.
Drove around because I'd done the rat. It came back positive like really quickly. It was like almost exploded in my hand. It was that positive. And then I drove around the next morning looking for a PCR test. One place was closed. The other place was about a 6-hour wait. And I was like, well, I'm not going to wait for something I know I already have.
Mm.
Like, yeah, and also, sure. I felt shit, so I didn't want to stand in line next to people who may not have it. So I went home and just isolated for 7 days. And the worst I kind of got was like a really stuffy head for 3 days. But I reckon I could have, had I been allowed out, I would have gone for a run. That's the level of sick that I was.
Oh, like if it was 2019, you weren't that bad, yeah.
Nah, if it was 2019, I'd have gone to work and given it to everyone in my workplace.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I found out my parents got it when I went down for Christmas for that. And then the other members of my family got it. And then, like, another bunch of family members got it. And we were all hanging out. I don't know how I didn't get it. But I, like you were saying about the testing, like, my parents tested positive on rapids.
Yeah.
Which luckily I had by the fact that I snagged them off I worked on a show like early December, and they were testing people. I was like, "Can I have a pack of that?" And he's like, "Yeah, sure, go for your life." But then
they're everywhere. Take them. Don't worry, they won't be insured.
They're never going to run out.
Like this government, they've got heaps of them. Don't worry about it. Take another box.
No, because they're bringing people in and testing them. And I was like,
"Yeah, absolutely."
You know, I was like, "Yeah, can I have this?" So I have no idea how I got it. I tested negative like 3 times or whatever, but I did go to get a PCR. And there were dudes in line, like, coughing up a lung. And it's like, dudes, they clearly fucking have it. Can we just move them to the front of the line and get them out of here? Like, just kind of pick out the people.
I thought they should have done?
I always find it better when the government has people in a line and then they pick people out of that line and move them to the front. And that means nothing bad is going to happen.
No. Everyone's happy with that. Everyone moves that along. You know what I thought they could have done? Because all the entertainers across Australia are suffering because gigs are being cancelled.
Mm-hmm.
Is if people are going to be waiting 7 hours, have like a big day out kind of festival of bands performing for them.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's not a bad thing. Like, do it at the showgrounds and just have them like on a line, like going around and around and around and around, and have people on a stage going, you know, doing songs, doing comedy.
Yeah.
We could even get magicians.
Oh absolutely. Absolutely. So basically, I did my 7 days. It wasn't that bad. I had a cough that was kind of about to take but never did, and I put it down to being severely boosted.
Yeah, sure. So that's the message out there, Junk Timers. Get your double vax, get your boost. I actually went and got my boost probably a month ago, now I'm thinking about it. And it was a bit concerning for a moment in that the lady put the injection in and I didn't cry. And then she kind of said, oh, you've come out in a bump, like almost like a mosquito kind of bump.
Uh-oh. Yeah,
and she's like, you sure you're not allergic to anything? I'm like, no, I'm not allergic to anything. Apart from a Carlton premiership. And we'll get to football eventually, guys. And then she called the doctor over and he came back.
How would you know you're allergic to a Carlton premiership, mate?
I've seen a few. It's never happened. A few. And she called over a doctor who took about 2 minutes to come over. And I'd walked about 20 minutes to get to the hospital. And it was quite a warm day. Right. And so she's like, "You're sweating a lot." I'm like, "Well, I just walked." It's like a 30-degree day. I just walked a lot. She'd give me like a towel, paper towel to kind of like pat my forehead down.
Yeah, had KFC for breakfast, lady.
The doctor came over and I said, "Look, I'm going to Thailand later today and I've inserted something." But the doctor said, no, it's fine. But then that 15-minute waiting period where I'm kind of like thinking like, I feel okay, but am I okay? I don't really know if I'm okay. Yeah. Am I okay? I feel like I'm okay, but I'm not sure if I'm okay.
It's like someone said that they go, "Oh, COVID's rampant up in Port Douglas." And so you're walking around going, "Is this a symptom? Is that a symptom?" Like you break your toe and you're like, "I think that's a symptom." It's just like everything, it just gets into your fucking head.
Yeah, sure.
But my favourite thing that happened during this time of, you know, it was a really tough time for Australia wide. If people couldn't get a RAT test, they were waiting 6 or 8 hours for PCRs. And Robbo jumped on his Facebook. And so this is at least a week into it, right? So this, I was out of lockdown. You couldn't get a RAT anywhere around Australia. It was all in the news. A week after this, Mark Robinson jumps on Facebook and says, "Have been listening to 3OW in the mornings and the frustrating calls about no RATs and closed testing stations. Couldn't be that bad, surely. Today and yesterday called 5 pharmacies, no tests, and today drove to 4 testing stations, all closed. Morrison is a clown of a prime minister. His leadership is a joke. In simple terms, he talks shit and makes excuses."
Sheesh.
So he's talked about the rough time that he's had, and then he's had a crack at the current political leadership. And then instantly.
I'm cutting you off again. I'm sorry.
Please.
But the idea that a man who makes his, I'm going to say, majority of his living has been like a newsbreaker, someone across the news, someone who takes an interest in the news. Like at least a week into this PCR rapid test breakdown of supply chain, he's come to the summation that, you know, this news is happening.
Yeah, this could be an issue. This could be a problem. And he called 5 pharmacies. He's done everything he can.
And also, how perfect is Robbo on Facebook? That is fucking perfect.
Yes. I think that's where his biggest... probably Twitter would be his biggest readership. But this is personal. This is not for the masses. This is him just venting as a mate. So all his friends jumped on. And then, of course, instantly underneath, Ricky Nixon, as usual, chicken ahead of the pack, have thousands of rats arriving Monday, Robbo. And then Robbo fires back, and how dare he question the authenticity of what Ricky Nixon says. Mark Robinson says, "You have personally?" I mean, Robbo, come on, mate. You're a fucking newsbreaker. If Chicken says he's got thousands of rats arriving on Monday, they're fucking arriving. They'll be out. I mean, pretty much everyone in Victoria, we're recording this on Wednesday. Yesterday, it was like raining rats. You know, he did one of those, you know, like you see in wartime when they push the pamphlets out the back of the...
Yeah, sure. They're
at the back of the plane?
Making fun of Hitler and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like a pamphlet drop. It was like that in Melbourne yesterday. People, you'd look on the bomb and it was like a hurricane had hit and everyone's like, "What is it?" It was just raining rats thanks to the chicken.
It was chicken flying the plane. Now, question to that notice, but thousands of rats arriving Monday. Okay, so Chicken's put it out there. And Chicken's obviously telling the truth.
Yeah.
Now, I think the ACCC have looked into this. How much do you think Chicken is gouging the public to pay for these rats?
How dare you? How much do you want is what you should be asking. You know, if people are willing to pay it, Michael, if people really, really want to get a rat, then that's on them. I mean, I don't see the ACCC going out there and going, "Fuck, MDMA at festivals is a little bit much." You know, it's if people want to pay it.
And then Chicken would be like, "Got thousands arriving on Monday."
Yeah. Thousands. But I tell you what, it's been a lot going on with some of Melbourne's elite, wouldn't you say? So yesterday, and I think this happened over the weekend, Brian Mannix of Uncanny X-Men, a band from the late 80s,
voice
early
of the
90s,
G for a while.
Was he?
Yeah, he'd do like that kind of quarter time, half time, three quarter time kind of, you know, speaking to a fan, put him in a competition or something. He did that for
Brian
a while.
Brian Mannix.
Yeah. So I think it was James Cherry, I think, did it for a while. But Brian, I think, might have actually been the initial.
Kind really? Of, you know, I thought that was like a guy called Stig or someone.
There was Stig Weemus.
Yeah. I thought he was the voice of the Jeep.
And then I think Brian was maybe after him. And then James. Well. And now, isn't...
All right, I stand corrected. I didn't know. No wonder he's hanging out with some of the most famous people.
Haven't you seen at the Sport Hall of Fame at the MCG, they got the voice of the G area?
I wondered who that statue was out the front. the little statue in leather pants and fucking... I've never seen a peroxided statue before.
Yeah, sure. Like, it was a very... Brian Mannix's statue is very, you know, emotional because you can clearly tell that he's at a party at Molly Meldrum's house.
Yeah. Shit's gone wrong. So, he put this up on his, I think it was Instagram or tweeted or whatever. So, he was injured on Sam Newman's boat. He says, it's either Sam Newman's boat or the bloody sharks. So, basically, he's holding up his arm. He's got a cut arm and he's bleeding kind of heavily. And he says, thanks to Ricky Nixon and Warwick Kappa for jumping in and help me. So you've got on this boat, you've got Sam Newman, who's the captain of the boat. It's his boat. You've got Brian Mannix, the voice of the G. You've got the chicken train, who's obviously, now that his rat stuff is done, he can go and fucking cruise around.
Oh, unless the guy needs to relax. He's been working hard getting the rats.
Unless he was handing out, you know, he's seeing fishermen on the bay going, you need a rat, mate? You need a rat? And the Wiz, who's taken time out from the cappuccino van to fucking hang out on Sam Newman's boat.
Dude, it's the fucking weirdest collection of people of all time. And, Brian Mannix got a cut nose like a few weeks before that on Sam's boat.
He's had a bit of a bad time. What I'm hearing is he doesn't like the choppy seas.
Well, yeah, it was rocking around. I think he fell over.
You know what it is? You don't wear cowboy boots on a boat. That's his biggest fucking problem.
Yeah, I think we can actually safely say that it was the rocking of the ocean. It wasn't anything else that made Brian Mannix fall over.
This is true.
Oh, and then the chicken and cap. So maybe he went for a swim, maybe off the boat, and then got nabbed by a little shark. And then the chicken Kappa.
Mate, I don't think it was a shark at all. I think he was making a joke. I think he slipped over and cut himself and blamed a shark.
Oh, okay. Well, that's taken a darker turn than I thought this conversation would. I thought he actually got bitten by a little bit of flake.
No, I'm going to put a lot of money. Also, that cut that he had on his nose recently, I don't reckon that was like a barramundi. I think he's also had another tumble on said boat.
Oh, that's awesome. Imagine the chicken.
Having said that, I would love to be on that fucking boat for an afternoon.
You know what I would love is that Sam Newman, Brian Mannix, Ricky Nixon and Warwick Kappa went out for a 3-hour tour got washed up on an island. Yeah. And somehow there were cameras. And we got a good 7-8 years of watching them survive.
Yeah. Of Sam Newman hitting Ricky Nixon over the head with his hat.
Hey, Mark Murphy came out pretty hard against your mate.
Oh, how unnecessary was this? Mark Murphy has just absolutely gone Mick Malthouse on another podcast, the Dylan Buckley podcast. And can I just say, like, based on what? You give me 1 to 200 reasons that Mark Murphy has to tee off on Mick Malthouse, Michael.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, he coached 54 games at Carlton while Mark Murphy was there and captain. And Mick won 20. And I mean, also, let's not forget, this is after Eddie McGuire got rid of him because Mick was going to die. That's what he was worried about. And so for him to coach again, like, it's quite remarkable.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think Carlton players and fans appreciate that, you know, this man had come back from the dead.
Yep. You know what I liked about Mick? The first training session, they brought him out in an iron lung because he was going to die, like Eddie McGuire said. Mm. And to inspire the players, he's piped his arm out, gave a little thumbs up, just a little thumbs up, and that got the players going.
And you know what? Like, he was so weak that they had to crank up the pressure in the iron lung so he could make the pee move in the whistle. Like, he was in a fucking tough way. And also, do you know how hard it is to do training when you're upside down looking at it in a mirror? Like, it's not easy.
So he said that Mick was not in it for the right reasons.
Oh, well, what other reasons would he have been in it for apart from winning a premiership?
I mean, if you did write down the reasons why Mick took the job, I imagine revenge was probably number one.
yep. Followed by cash.
He said it all went pear-shaped. I haven't listened too much of what Mick had to say post leaving the football club, but what's the point? He probably would have said that he would have chosen a different captain at the time. And he even said that to me at the time when I got appointed captain. So he's had a crack at Mark when he got appointed captain by his peers.
And also probably, yeah, so Juddy in his time would have stood down and gone, I don't want to be captain anymore. And so Mick would have gone, well, let's put it to a vote, expecting someone else to maybe be captain. And then when Murph got it, he's going, ah, fucking hell, I don't want that. He goes up, hey, Murph, I didn't vote for you. I don't know who voted for you, but it wouldn't have been me, mate, because I don't like you and I don't like you as captain. So I'm here for revenge. Did I mention that?
There's a great line here, but there's no point me coming out and bashing Min Malthouse. He's obviously one of the great coaches of the all time.
Yeah.
But his time at Carlton, I don't think he was really in it for the right reasons. And once it turned pear shape, he was all about him. Unfortunately, at the end, and I was left to be thrown at the bus quite a bit. So he's not bashing him. But
no, not at all.
He's saying.
But if I am going to say something, it is all about him and he threw me under the bus. But I'm not saying that.
He's not saying that. He's not saying anything into a microphone on a very popular podcast.
No. And he goes on to say he was obviously a terrific coach, but for Carlton and for me and the boys, it just didn't work out. But he was a terrific coach. He's a great coach. And he didn't want me as captain, but great coach. I love him.
It's kind of interesting here, actually, because I'd forgotten about this. What year are we talking about? So he's talking about you lost a semi, maybe?
Yeah, we got robbed in a semi-final against West Coast over there. Andrew Walker should have been holding the man in the goal square. Would have put us 3 points up. Didn't go our way. Fucking, not that any of us are hanging on to that.
And that was 2011. So
yep.
Let me get my facts straight here. So Ratten did 2012 and then Mick came in? Yeah, because Mick would have had a year off. Yeah.
Yeah, so Mick came in 2013 when Carlton finished ninth and made the finals because Essendon got booted, and that was our last finals appearance when we beat the Tigers.
Yeah, sure. Do you remember when Mick made that comment when they won the premiership about him having a year left? Like, made it on the podium? Go back and watch his speech. He makes the reference to Eddie, and he's like, I've only got a year left. Like, while he's...
Oh, right.
I think he's about to hold up the cup. And it's like, fuck, man, like... Okay, I know there's a lifetime, but like to fucking just to be on the podium. I mean, Mark Scott, you were wrong, was fucking awesome. But
yeah,
like to have still have the contract and you're still going to have another year.
Yeah.
Just to get the knife out and just to give a little bit of a jab.
And even then, he said on the podium, Mark Murphy will make a terrible captain. And it was like, it was Collingwood St Kilda. I was like, what are you doing, Mick?
And he said, yeah. And I'll prove it when I go to Carlton in 3 years' time for revenge.
Yeah, for a revenge tour.
Hey, Rex Hunt's a bit of a hero.
When hasn't he been? Always been a hero in my eyes. What's he done this time?
He was ring announcing at a boxing evening in Melbourne.
See, and people say that there's no pomp or grace about boxing in Australia, and particularly, you know, at lower level. But... how do you get someone like Rex Hunt to be your announcer? Like that, they must have paid him upwards of like $150, maybe $200, Michael. Like that is not an easy get.
Yeah, it's at the Melbourne Pavilion. Do you know where the Melbourne Pavilion is?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the infamous one in Kensington on Racecourse Road that's had a little bit of trouble over the last few years.
I don't think I've ever heard of it. Yeah, I think
maybe
it's safe
a couple of shootings.
It's safe
to
assume it was a cashy.
Mate, I don't think there's an FPOS machine that's anywhere near. I think that there'd be so many like what would you call it, like jamming machines that FPOS would fail to work in there.
Yeah,
because of the folk who might be in there.
Seb Costello, AFL reporter. Was doing some broadcasting, commentating, and he had his laptop satchel hanging over the back of his back of his chair.
Yeah.
And some unseemly person.
A lowlife.
Snatched that. A lowlife that you would never find at the Melbourne Pavilion. And I've been strong on this for a long time.
I mean, you would think you could leave your laptop, you could leave it at the front door open without the password like locked on it, and I would have thought you could trust everyone at the Melbourne Pavilion too. You would walk back out and be like, "Oh fuck, I left my laptop here on the counter as I was getting my ticket."
It's funny that because now I'm thinking about it, because I said before like a minute ago that I had never heard of the Melbourne Pavilion, but I have been to so many kids' birthday parties at the Melbourne Pavilion.
You love it. You love it. You know when they get their face painted and then they get their teeth capped with like gold. Kids love that shit.
And I think it was sugar they were giving them. I think it was sugar. It was white powder. Absolutely. I think it was sugar.
Mate, what kid doesn't love shoot the tail off the donkey with a sawn off? You know, just fun little games that kids love.
It was a lot of fun. It was like they played a game. And it was called Who Can Bury the Body First? And I thought it was a beautiful, fun game. The kids get in.
You know what kids love to play is pass the parcel, cunt. You know, it's like, it's just little fun things that kids love.
No, and that, they all left obviously with a bag of handguns, and
it was also like, who wants to file off the serial number off this handgun first? They're just fun games.
I got to look up Melbourne Pavilion, but So anyway, so some dude has pinched the bag with a laptop in it and run off. And Big Rexy, he's chased the bloke. So the quote here is, okay, see, he apparently, from Seb, I think it is. Yeah, from Seb. He apparently jumped out of his chair, followed the guy into the back room, and I'm not entirely sure what happened in the back room, except 5 minutes later, Rexy came out, stood next to me, showed me his knuckles, which were scratched up and bleeding. Okay, Rexy, I don't know what you've been up to. And said...
He had a wank and then took the laptop back.
You've got form, Rex. You've got form. And said, well, Seb, typo, news.com, okay. It was capital W for well. Well, Seb, here's your bag, and there's a guy in there who's not going to be able to sit up straight for a week. Okay, Rex,
okay,
got form.
What the fuck did you do to him?
The girl's
okay,
happy.
Okay, Mr. Hunt, you can have
money.
The laptop back.
And so he got the laptop back. So I don't know. Well, Rexy was a cop, so he probably knows a few takedown moves. But yeah, so bit of a hero. 72, and he's taken on the bloke.
Yeah, I reckon that's, you've got to say, if you're that bloke though, you're not fucking bragging to your mates about that, are you?
No, not at all.
Hey, did you get their laptop back? Nah, I got taken down. Oh yeah, who by? What? One of the boxers? Nah, you know, the guy in the ring. Which guy? The guy in the blue shorts? Nah, the guy in the tux.
The guy in the tuxedo in the ring going, yibbity yibbity, let's get ready to rumble. He's talking about the cranium. What? What are you doing?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
I wonder, could I fight off a 72-year-old? I mean, Rexy would be a tall dude.
And mate, I would hope you could. I would hope that you... I'd like to back myself in against a 72-year-old. If Mick Malthouse came at you now, do you think, in all honesty, do you reckon you could take him?
Oh, I don't know, actually, about Mick. I don't know about Mick.
Yeah, because he's from Ballarat. He'd have your eye out before you ever fucking knew what was happening.
I don't know if I've told this story in the pod before, but maybe I have. But back in 2019, Christmas, I went to London to see my brother and sister-in-law.
Right. Before the world fell apart.
Well, that's the thing. We're actually very lucky because we haven't seen them for 2 years. And they've got little adorable kids now.
They could come over.
They're talking about coming over in a couple of months.
No, they could have been here last year. They just...
But I was just heading back to their place one night in Kensington.
Well, I'm liking this segue. Did you get in a punch on with an old man?
No, not quite. But it was it was in, what's it called? Kensington High Street. Just on the bus there.
Yeah.
And when I got on, I had my headphones on, and there was near the back of the bus, there was kind of a younger woman, maybe like about 25, and an older woman, I reckon 55, 60, kind of yelling at each other. And I didn't think much of it. And then I looked around when we got to the next stop, and they were punching on. Was also another younger woman and another older lady there, and they were trying to stop them. And I was I thought to myself, I reckon I can take this. Like, if I get a whack in the face, I reckon I can wear it, you know? And so I went to kind of break them up, and the bus driver had stopped and stuff. And I'm like, go, mate, give me a hand here. But,
yeah.
And this is the thing about, like, when men
and
fight.
And then he's like, cool accent, mate.
when men fight, like, pulling hair is against the rules.
Yeah.
But when women fight, like, that's the rule. And so I'd get them apart, but then they'd come back together and they'd grab the hair. And so you're kind of trying to get them apart. And that happened a couple of times.
Also, you can do the hair grab from a greater distance too, because it's longer. You've got more to grab onto.
Yes.
Whereas with, you know, older blokes, you're like fucking balding. You might pull a wig off in your hair. You might get hair in a can on your hand. You know, all that sort of shit.
And they were Italian people too. And like, they looked a bit touristy. Like, and I got the impression when I kind of got off the bus, like when it kind of got broken up, because the bus driver stopped and like called the cops. And I kind of got off and just kind of watched the cops come in and stuff. But I got the impression like they were traveling together. Like they kind of looked a bit touristy.
Okay.
And I was like, I got the impression they were like a mum and a daughter and like an aunt and a cousin. Kind of thing.
And so we're going to Madame Tussauds tomorrow. No, we're not.
Well, that's the thing.
Fucking, we are.
Well, that's the thing.
Yes,
I was thinking
not
like.
Not another museum, Dad.
They go back to the hotel that night and like they're sitting there at table at the dinner and they're like going, hey, remember when he just punched on a fucking bus?
Yeah.
But it was also weird too because they were speaking Italian, and then when I came over to kind of try and break them up,
shut it down. Yeah,
they started speaking English. Like they were going, "No, you don't hit her. You don't hit her." Like, because they've thrown some pretty good haymakers, and not many were landing. But also, I found it funny too. Like, if that was like a male, female. 13, 14, 15-year-old Londoner having a fight on a bus, I'm getting the fuck out of there immediately.
Yeah. No, because you're copping a switchblade to the...
Oh, yeah, absolutely abdomen. Am.
Yeah. Can I just say, though, good, you know, on the plus side, good on you for stepping in and breaking that up. But on the downside, you got a fucking phone in your pocket, mate. You film that shit first.
Well, that's
and
the
then
thing.
You go and stop it.
Well, I must say, like, I did have a very important choice. I was like... Do I try and break it up or do I film it and put it on YouTube and the like? Yeah.
You blew it.
Football
hey, we're just about to
life?
Wrap it up here, but...
Oh, shit. We got some sad fucking news, actually. Junk timers. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
This is actually really not great. Not great.
Yeah, we're sorry
all.
To leave you on this note, but it says the... Well, fuck, where do you start? The tourist attraction, King Tut's Putt-Putt...
Mm.
Is closing.
Oh, God. Just to hear those words again is really, really hard to hear.
It's going to be replaced by an $800 million triple tower development. But you know what? What price? At what cost to future generations? Like, can you imagine? Like, we had the opportunity that in 3,000 years' time, people would come across King Tut's Putt-Putt.
Yeah.
You know? Like, they did the pyramids in Giza and just be like, what went on here?
Yeah.
Who is this boy wonder who could finish a round in only 17 shots, you know?
Yeah.
We'll never get to know that now, the future generations.
It's really sad. I mean, we actually never got to actually play there. King Tut's, to their credit, in 2020, gave us a bunch of double passes for people who spotted footballers in real life when they were over the bubble. And so we, to their credit, they actually did that. And the Junk Timers had an amazing time, obviously, as all Junk Timers have had at King Tut's Putt-Putt. Over the years, when they've paid a visit at the because it's three courses too, so it's not just like you know an Egyptian theme one. There's like a Jurassic Park theme one as well.
Yeah,
they've thought this shit through.
Yeah, I mean you play the front nine, you play the back nine, and then you play the other back nine.
And now it's been
as all courses have.
You know, as we've seen on the Gold Coast over these years, the gentrification is embarrassing. You know, just, you know, 50-story apartment blocks going up left, right and centre. It's not the Goldie we knew.
No, not at all. Not at all. Fuck. You can see why Gary Ablett got the fuck out of there when he could. Hugh Greenwood,
sure.
No wonder. No wonder Hugh Greenwood went, oh, should I go to, should I stick around another year or fuck off to North Melbourne? What's that? King Tut's Putt-Putt's shutting. I'm fucking Gonski.
Yeah. Tom Lynch. All the people have left. They felt the, they read the wind.
Good luck keeping Ben King, Isaac Rankine and Jack Lukosius now Gold Coast. It's fucking doomed. Gil, if you're listening, get out of there, mate. You're not getting anyone sticking around.
Because I have a feeling most of the... Actually, my mailman I get good mail, but my mailman tells me that a lot of the Gold Coast Suns players, in fact, all of them, have a clause in their contract that they get a free membership to King Tut's Putt Putt for the entire year. I mean,
well, that's what Eddie Maguire spent years trying to get rid of, because it was just attracting so many good young players up to the Gold Coast. They're like, do you want to come to Collingwood? Here's, you know, here's 7 years at 15 mil. And he's like, fuck off. Look at King Tut's putt putt around the corner, Eddie. I'm not coming to Melbourne. I'm not an idiot.
Oh, fuck. I get a slushy. Like, what are you talking about, mate?
I could play 27 before training, Ed. I don't think so.
I mean, that would be the allure, wouldn't it, actually? Now, if we get into the kind of coaching, people are saying Stewie Jew is under fire, and, you know, people are talking about Barkley, Clarkson, you know, whoever might be able to replace him if he doesn't, you know, make the eight this year. And, I mean, that's the cherry on top, isn't it? You say to Clarko, like, look, mate, you know, you made $900,000 for 2022 for doing nothing. But how about a membership for King Tut's putt-putt? He'd be like, I'm working for free. I'm working for free.
That's all I need.
Yeah. Can you throw in parking? But I'm working for free. Actually, throw in a couple at the Surfers Paradise shopping centre shooting range. I'm all over it.
I'm not paying for club hire, am I? No, Clarko. I'm there.
Wait a second. Chuck in a couple double passes to Hollywood Showgirls. And I'm in. Yeah. And a kebab.
Are there any cinemas that have got more dimensions than three? Oh, Clarko, mate, have we got something for you?
Are you sitting down, Clarko?
You found a fourth dimension? Oh, yeah. Oh, it's on the Gold Coast, mate.
King Tut's putt-putt, we bid you farewell. And to any people in the Goldie area, if you do, you know, want to hang out there and get around before it shuts down, I'm sure they would appreciate your patronage.
Yes, and absolutely a big thanks for them to actually coming on board and saying, yeah, fuck it, why not? This sounds like fun. They were great. They were great to deal with, and they were lovely enough to hand out those passes. So thank you to King Tut's Putt Putt, RIP.
We're going to head off with a football in real life. Keep on sending them through, Junk Timers. We're from Kelly here. Ross Lyon at Blue Tongue Wine Bar in Elwood. Slamming post-Christmas vino. Looked kind of judgy when the doggo I was walking my lemon-lime margarita with came over for an inspection of his table. Damning about Ross Lyon there.
You got to be careful, mate. He'll take a dog out. Don't worry about that.
I feel like Ross isn't a dog person. I could be making that up. It could be wild speculation, but I feel like he doesn't enjoy the finer things in life. Ross needs to love himself. That's what I think.
No, isn't there a great bit of vision of him? And if I can remember it, there's a vision of him with a cat that maybe, there was a cat at their house, I think in Perth, that ended up in a washing machine.
Oh, okay. Now, who put it in?
No. It went in there and then clothes got put in on top. It wasn't like, the cat's pissing the house again.
Yeah, sure. Cat in a washing machine's all good fun. Cat in a dryer. Someone's done something. we're going to hit the road. We are Junk Time Alpha Pod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the gram. Go Hooks.
Go Blues.
Hard to win every match.
We're the high flying bombers from Windy Hill. We're the toughest, we're the team we're gonna kill.
Listen up, guys, cause Richmond's here, and we're the only team that you should fear.
The black and gold ain't where it's at. The Blues are the team that'll knock them all flat.
Stop your boasting, the Saints have arrived. You'll all be sorry when we make the five.
Y'all may be tough, but have no fear. It's Collingwood's turn for the flag this year.
We're the winning football. We're the winning football.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.